do is take, find the golden nugget for the day and utilize that to your best advantages that you possibly can, either for yourself or for information for other people that are looking for a guided path of better health and living longer and just absolutely fitting better. Because I know we, on these calls, we get a lot of great information. Does anybody have any comments you'd like to make before we get started on last week or something maybe you found out that you'd like to share with the group? I don't usually wait too long, so what I what's interesting to me is that I ran across an article the other day, and it had to do with Parkinson's disease, which is a neurodegenerative brain disorder that causes a group of motor system problems within our body. Approximately 50,000 to 60,000 patients are diagnosed with Parkinson's every year, and that's according to the National Parkinson Foundation. These, like I said, many symptoms can include the shaking and tremors, slow movement, slightly, or rigidity of limbs, and problems with balance. One of the things they've found that previous studies have shown that smoking and other tobacco use may lower the risk of developing Parkinson's disease.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, one of the things that we would not recommend here, and that is, of course, smoking and tobacco, and the government even recommends it also. While it is thought, of course, that nicotine may be providing that effect so that it lowers the risk of Parkinson's disease, and even though they feel that it is one of the reasons, they really don't know, but, you know, a lot of us try to keep certain things out of our body because, well, while most people know that nicotine can be found, of course, in tobaccos and whatever, that one of the foods that we consume, or I should say a group of foods that we consume, do have a low levels of a compound, basically, that can be found in these, and they are peppers, tomatoes, and some other members of the Solanaceae, I think, a flowering plant life. Researchers have wanted to determine if even small amounts of edible nicotine would be able to lower the risk, and this was certainly, this was done basically, and it says for the study, 490 patients were diagnosed with Parkinson's at the University of Washington in Seattle Neurological Clinic, or at a regional HMO called a General Group Health Cooperative, which we have here in the Northwest, were examined, and all were asked about their lifestyles and their lifetime diets and tobacco use, and they found that tobacco use was defined as even smoking more than 100 cigarettes or
derived
pipes or tobacco. And they even claimed that eating more vegetables in general did not lower Parkinson's disease, but eating vegetables in that Solanaceae family did. People who ate these types of vegetables, that's like the peppers, tomatoes, and whatever, lowered their risk of about 19% on an average compared with those who did not eat these vegetables, which I thought was actually amazing. And the protective benefits of the produce was most profound men and women who had little or no tobacco use. So even though that for the most people who ate the most peppers, about 2 to 4 peppers weekly had the strongest risk-lowering association. They lowered their Parkinson's risk by 30%. And I thought that was kind of amazing when I read that article that, you know, one of the things we try to keep out of our body is nicotine, but yet the nicotine is in, low compounds of it are in the peppers and tomatoes, and so I guess that possibly that nicotine in vegetables and natural nicotines that we get in foods, it seems to be beneficial for us in regards to Parkinson's. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting article. Anybody have any comment? Or had you ever heard that before?
No, I was just going to say I never knew there was a nicotine in any of the vegetables. That's
yep.
Amazing.
Then divorced.
And derived.
And, you know, of course, we get a lot of things in our, like arsenic, for instance, is another one, you know, that we know that will kill us. But yet arsenic is in a lot of our food in low quantities. and the body seems to be able to fight it off. But I thought that was interesting about nicotine that's in peppers and tomatoes and that family. So just thought I'd throw that at you today, if you don't mind.
No, that's great information.
I'm kind of the type of person that when I learn something new, it kind of excites me just because I know that one of the benefits of good brain and power and keeping our brain, I've always learned that if we learn something new on a daily basis, it's like that those synapses or whatever, those neurons that are in our brain, that if we keep functioning, we do that by learning new things, whether it be a language or just reading a book or reading an article or something, that's new information we haven't heard before is beneficial for our brain. One of the other things I just read this morning, and it had to do with parsley and the health benefits of parsley, and I know a lot of people, we know that. Of course, parsley is related to the celery group, and its name actually is derived from ancient Greek which means rock celery. And historically, we know that the parsley was used for medicinal purposes long before it was considered to have a culinary benefit. It is considered an excellent source of vitamin K, C, and A, as well as a good source of folate and iron. It is interesting to note that 1/2 cup of fresh parsley fills 10% of your daily requirement of iron and has 3 times the vitamin C as an orange. That's a little nugget to me, that the amount of vitamin C that it has, and we've always heard that oranges are very high in vitamin C and we should eat them, and I do believe that. Half a cup of parsley is more vitamin C. We can utilize that either on putting it on salads or we utilize it in cooking. As a matter of fact, one of the things I do when I make my egg whites in the morning is I put in about 1/4 cup of parsley into it along with my coconut oil in my pan, and I mix that right along in with my scrambled eggs as they're cooking, and now I realize I'm headed in the right direction. It also detoxifies, we know that, and studies have shown that parsley root is a liver protective and helps modulate blood sugar levels. And the basic root leaves and contains the same essential oils that's in the root or in the leaves. So I thought that was something else. Parsley restores digestion, supports the liver, the kidneys, the spleen, the adrenal glands. It purifies blood and body fluids and helps the body defensive mechanism and chokes negative microorganisms. It is also great for the immune system support. In fact, the German Commission and Advisory Panel on Herbal Medicines has approved parsley for use in prevention and treatment of kidney stones. It also goes on to say that if you're an allergy sufferer, it's good to note that it also inhibits the secretion of histamine and is therefore useful in addressing hives and reducing other allergy symptoms. And of course, this time of year, a lot of us seem to catch little things or bugs or allergies, I should say. And we know of family members that have allergies, and particularly children, that parsley would be a good thing to include within their diet. Parsley can be used, of course, in a variety of ways.
It's arrived.
Utilizing it fresh is preferred for its superior flavor and can even be grown in your garden. It's been used in rubs for things and salad soups and sauces and even juicing. So it sounds like parsley could be a very beneficial item to utilize when we prepare food, either cooked food or raw food. So something we might want to think about. Anybody have any comments on that particular item? Okay. The other thing I like to talk about today is, and one of the things that I know we definitely, in our business, certainly agree with, and that is that water. Water seems to be very important, and we're coming in here into the summer months, where outside temperatures are going to be increasing, which means that means our inside temperatures are going to increase also, and that is to drink more. The more we drink, we can actually weigh less. And it goes on to say, of all the food and beverages we consume, water is by far the most important. Although it contains no calories and provides no energy, is considered our most vital nutrient. So when I read that, I kind of perked up a little bit. It says our bodies require a constant source. We all know that. We've all heard of that on our on this program. We can live several weeks and even months without other nutrients, but if we completely deprived ourselves of water, we would die of dehydration, of course, in a matter of days. I think most of us understand that. But a lack of adequate water is isn't a death sentence. And one of the questions I think that people need to ask themselves, and I even go this for myself, if I ask myself how many ounces of pure, clean water without being involved in either coffee or some other kind of drink like lemonade or other type of fluid, how many ounces of actual pure, clear water, clean water did I drink? I probably cannot answer that exactly.
Well, that's arrived.
But to drink plenty of water. You've probably heard that advice 100 times, but do you follow it? How much water do you drink each day? I mean real water, he goes on to say. Pure water without flavoring, sweeteners, and other chemicals added. 3 glasses? 1 glass, perhaps? Maybe none at all? That's fairly typical. You ask the average person out there that we deal with, or your next door neighbor, I'm quite sure if you ask that question, you know, how many glasses of water or how many ounces did you drink? Sometimes we got to remember that glasses are different sizes. One could be 4 ounces, one could be 6 ounces, one could be 8 ounces, and we all know that we need to drink those 8 ounce glasses of water. And of course, and the other thing we need to remember the two. And I find it, I guess, so important in my weight loss before and even now is that a key element in any weight loss program is to drink water, plenty of it, and pure water. In other diets, the water isn't given much attention. You know, we give water in this business quite a bit of attention because of our waterfall and our sports bottle and understanding that we can take water and put it into our body because it has a magnetic field that those molecules are broken down, which means it absorbs quicker into our body, which means that if we have nutrients there, that we get those nutrients into our body and into our bloodstream. And I know that's one thing, as I always go in, it seems like the older I get, the harder it is sometimes for people to draw blood from me when I go in for my blood work. And one of the things there I've heard several times from the nurses, and that is, would you start drinking a lot of water before you come in? At least 1.5 to 2 hours before you come in, because it actually helps the blood flow and it makes the blood vessels work the way that they're supposed to. And I thought that was real important. Even though you may have lost 30 pounds in 6 weeks sometimes, you probably really only lost about 6 to 12 pounds of fat, and the rest was water and lean tissue. The body being severely dehydrated will eventually want to reabsorb some water, and you may notice a weight gain, even though you continue to be faithfully follow the diet. If you remain on the diet for a long and never replenish the water you lost, you could...
That's arrived.
Due to chronic dehydration. So the ideal diet, we know this to be true, and we recommend it in drinking in us, and that is that the one that doesn't produce quick loss, the best one is one that the slower the weight loss, the better in some cases, because what we're really doing in a lot of situations, we're utilizing the loss of water. We know that the exterior of life, of course, is water. It's something that we have to have it, but sometimes we get in situations of chronic dehydration, and they found that most things recommend that their patients, no, most doctors recommend their patients drink plenty of water. At least 2 to 3 quarts a day. Of course, this amount, we don't realize that when we drink water, that we still lose water. And, you know, this is the amount of, I'm on a CPAP machine, unfortunately still, but I have to put in a cup of water in my unit, in my humidifier that is connected to my CPAP. And by the time I get up in the morning, most of that water is actually gone. Because I've absorbed, it's gone into my body and into my lungs, but we all know that we lose water due to perspiration, respiration, and elimination every day. And this is the minimum amount you should consume each day, at least 2 to 3 quarts a day. If you are chronically dehydrated, then you need to increase this amount to replenish your reserves. But one of the other things that they found is that salt and trace minerals, increasing water consumption, the first important step in reversing chronic dehydration. And we know that to be true. We also know the value, and at least I understand the value of salt and trace minerals within our bodies and why it's so important. Chronic dehydration, we know, is what is called it's a disease, and it's called a silent killer. That's very serious. And, of course, like I said when I started this article, and that is that every summer people fall victim to dehydration, and that we need to be very, very aware of it, and we need to increase our flow, particularly if we're outside a lot or the temperatures are getting warm, more so than we want to really admit that we need to be drinking more water. And dehydration kills, of course, we know that. What is less known is that subclinical or tonic mild dehydration also kills, but at a much slower pace. In a way, it is worse than severe hydration because it strikes without warning. You know, I find that so true. When Mother got older and whatever, I find that it seems like the elderly are more at risk, of course. They aren't the only ones who suffer from chronic dehydration. But they found that most 65%, I think it was 65 or maybe it was 80-some percent, of the elderly that end up going into the hospital are considered dehydrated. And I know that's true because as our bodies get older, we lose the feeling of thirst. And this, again, has been proved in studies that, and so that's the problem that we need to be concerned about, is that as we venture towards those centurion marks, that it's very important that we should continue to drink a lot of water. And I know that dehydration, they've even found that water sometimes, and we know this to be true, that if you just have a headache or whatever, sometimes just drinking two glasses of water will basically take care of that particular situation. So anyhow, and one of the things we know that in the colon, a certain amount of water is normally extracted from the feces to facilitate excretion. And when the body becomes dehydrated, the amount of moisture removed is increased in order to slow down water loss. A greater amount of water than normal is removed from the feces traveling through the colon. As a consequence, fecal matter becomes excessively dry and hard, slowing down the elimination, and of course the result of that, we all know that, and that is constipation. So the solution is very simple, and that's just to drink again more water. They've also found that it also appears that if you want to avoid cancer, it's very important to drink lots of water, good clean water. It says that as simple it sounds, just drinking 5 glasses of water can reduce the risk of colon cancer by 45%. Urinary tract cancer, which includes bladder, prostate, kidney, and testicles, by 50%, and breast cancer by 79%. And I, in my own little knowledge I have,
has less the contents
in our bodies, the more our bodies and our cells and our blood can flush out those toxins that basically cause those mutations in our bodies. And that's why that I think that, think of it. Water is an anti-cancer treatment. So I think that's very, very important in regards to that. So that was kind of my comments today and a few of the things that I thought I'd want to bring to the attention of people on the call. Does anybody have any comments, suggestions, or questions?
It's arrived.
Always a good reminder, Monty. This is Jeannie. Thank you for that. Because here in Phoenix, it's going to be 99 today, I think. And so I really always need to be reminded of drinking more water. So thank you.
Yeah, I think that, when I say we get into the summer months and things are heating up, and for those that don't have air conditioning or in their homes or whatever, that's something they really need to be thinking about. I know in Arizona, probably everybody's got air conditioning cars and homes and office buildings, whatever. But still, we just need to be drinking more water, particularly during those summer months. As a matter of fact, I would hope all 12 months out of a year, and probably what most of us think we drink. And like I said earlier, if you ask the question, how many ounces of water did I drink today or yesterday, I personally could not answer that question with any authority. I can say, well, I drank a lot, or, well, I'm sure I consumed 8 glasses, but did I really? And remember, the water that we consume should be the amount based upon our body weight. If you weigh 200 pounds, as an example, I'll just use that figure, you should at least be drinking a minimum of 100 ounces of water on a daily basis. So I think those things are important. And I know we all have relatives and parents that are getting up there, and I think if we can sometimes stress the importance of water, I don't like to say what I'm going to say, but, you know, I know everybody doesn't have a waterfall, but just water in itself, and we know, of course, what the certain bad things are in water, but just we need to really think about that for our own health. And first, just like I was talking to Betty earlier, if our own health isn't important, I mean, if we don't have good health, it's pretty hard to talk to people about having better health themselves. So, anybody else? Thank you for that comment, Gene. Anybody else have any comments or ideas or anything else you'd like to talk about? Well, then, I think I'm going to wrap it up with this 4 minutes early, then, if that's okay. Unless somebody has a recipe or maybe something you tried, that you made, or maybe one you heard about last week and tried, and anybody get any good feelings about anything like that? Okay, well, let's have a great weekend. Continue to remember that health is important. It just doesn't go from Monday to Friday. It's a 7-day, 24/7 situation that we need to be concerned about. But remember, when you smile at somebody and they smile back, that's a good sign. And even if you smile at them and they don't, you feel good. But well, have a great weekend. We'll be here on Monday. So everybody, appreciate each and every one of you on this call. Have a great one. Bye-bye.
Marty, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Betty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear. Have a great weekend.
You too.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.